Hey, welcome to episode 70 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. My guest today is actress Alison Munn. You might remember her from shows like That 70s Show, One Tree Hill, What I Like About You, and right now she is on Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn. So I can't wait to share that interview with you. Before we get started, though, I want to let you guys know Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Up4 Probiotics. If you're going to be traveling a lot this holiday season, definitely check out Up4 Ultra. It is a high-potency performance probiotic. If you're in the middle of a high-stress situation or, like I said, traveling, or you're using medication, your digestive system may be subjected to an accelerated decrease in beneficial bacteria. That's what a probiotic is. Well, Up4 Ultra can help support that positive, that good probiotic bacteria. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 Probiotic image to find out more about how you can start creating a happier inside. I also want to tell you guys about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump. Now, if you didn't know, it is the first pump to use Bluetooth technology. What? Amazing. I know. Here's how it works. It pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app to help you track your pumping sessions and to automatically record the date and time and duration of each pumping session. Pretty cool, right? The smart pump is customizable for comfort and helps moms get the most out of every pumping session. And this is something that's really cool. It has 3 pumping styles, 8 adjustable suction levels, and it features a hygienic closed system design that helps prevent mold and bacteria growth with inside the pump. Pretty cool. Very high tech, very state of the art. You guys want to check that out? Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Lansinoh image, and that'll take you right to their website where you can find out more about the Lansinoh smart pump. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm glad you're here. If you're finding me for the first time, hi, hello, and welcome. Hope you like the show. Please click subscribe if you do, and then leave me a review. That totally rhymes. And if you are a longtime listener, first-time caller, hey, thanks for sticking around. I'm having a good time. This is episode number 70. You guys, I cannot believe I've done this 70 times, and I still love it. I know when I first started Motherhood in Hollywood, I kind of wondered how long I would do it. Because you know how you get excited about something, and you go, yeah, I'm going to go all in. And I can honestly say I still have just as much fun, and I'm enjoying the interviews I get to do just as much now as I did with episode number 1. And I hope you guys are enjoying them too. So if you are, please take a minute and leave me a review on iTunes, and also tell your friends. Tell a friend, eh? Say, hey, check out this podcast. There's a lot going on. I have a lot of great shows coming up, including this one right now that you're actually listening to. I interviewed my friend Alison Munn, and Alison Munn has been working as an actress for quite some time. You guys, I know, will recognize her from shows like What I Like About You, That 70s Show. She was on the short-lived Carpoolers, if you all remember that, and One Tree Hill is what I think a lot of people might recognize her from. But right now, my moms and dads who are listening might recognize her from Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn on Nickelodeon. And I met her when I actually filmed an episode of that show. I think it's been 2 years ago now. I played a kind of, I don't want to say butchy, kind of a like janitor slash truck driver lady. But yeah, she was totally butchy. She was very doodly. And I like that. I actually get auditions for stuff like that a lot. And I've always wondered if it's because of like a vibe that I give out, or if it's because I'm just chunky monkey and they're like, well, you know, let's just throw her in this part because she's fat. It doesn't matter to me. I'm happy to play those characters because I think they're fun and I have fun with them. And but anybody who meets me is like, what? You're so wacky. But anyway, so I'm excited to share the interview with Alison with you guys today. It's a lot of fun. We had a great conversation about Hollywood and the expectations of Hollywood versus the expectations we put on ourselves as actors and performers in this business. So hopefully you guys can understand and relate to that a little bit. What else is happening? Oh, in Los Angeles, if you're in the LA area, the LA Baby Show is coming up Saturday, November the 5th and 6th, if you guys want to go and check that out. I tweeted out some information or put some info on my Facebook about it if you want to go. And what else? I got to go see Trolls this last week. That opens on November 4th. DreamWorks had a really fun party that was like so trippy. And, you know, Channing and I, here's the deal. So the party was supposed to start at like 4:30 in the afternoon. And I was like, well, I don't know, because, you know, I'm trying to get her to bed earlier. And but I was like, it's kind of a once in a lifetime situation to go party at DreamWorks. Let's go. So we get to this party and Channing is tired and she is cranky and she was not wanting any of it, which made it hard for me because it looked like a lot of fun. Like, it was a really fun party. There was dancing. There was a huge candy table with like every colorful candy you could imagine. They were making cotton candy with designs like in heart shapes and spirals and stuff. There was lots of picture opportunities. There was a donut wall. Get out of here. Like a whole wall of donuts. And she just was not wanting to be there. And it was really hard because I was like, well, I kind of want to be here to help promote the podcast and, you know, help, you know, have a good time, essentially. But then you've got your child who's clearly not having fun. So we kind of stepped to the side a little bit and talked about it a little bit. And, you know, she got some food in her belly, which made a huge difference. And then by the time we got up to the movie, everything was fine. So it's not all like, you know, roses and sunshine. I know a lot of people put their pictures up on Instagram and their pictures on Facebook and like, look how much fun we're having. Everything is rosy and perfect. And it's just not that way all the time. If it is for them, great. More power to you. But it is not that way for me all the time. And I don't ever want people to think that I'm trying to present an image of perfection, because I certainly am not. Furthest thing from it. But anyway, so that's kind of what's been going on our week. I put up a video on Wonderwall. The nice people at Wonderwall asked me to do a little review of Trolls. I put that on my Facebook page if you want to go check that out. It's also on my YouTube channel. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I've started beefing up my presence on YouTube. I'm doing some fun videos because that's what the pros tell me I need to do. So I'm doing it. I'm doing fun videos on YouTube. So go and find Motherhood in Hollywood on YouTube. You can also listen to the podcast there if you're so inclined. And what else? Oh, I want to do my mom mentions. Can't forget about the mom mentions. Over on Twitter, thank you guys for following me at MIH Podcast. I want to say hello to Katha at Katha and Michelle the Trainer at Michelle Trainer. Thank you for following me. And the other F word, that's TOFW series. It looks like it's a new comedy web series with a bunch of ladies. I love it. And Joyce Watson. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to follow me at MIH Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter, Motherhood. Wait, I already said Twitter. On Instagram. Sorry. On Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood and on Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood. I totally live streamed Kamikaze this weekend. I did a little Facebook video where I was just wandering around with Chris and we were checking out all of the costumes and stuff. It was so much fun. So definitely make sure you follow me on Facebook so you can catch more of those videos. I actually love doing those. I used to love doing Periscope too. I don't know if anybody's still doing Periscope, but I used to do that a lot because I thought it was really fun. But I'm going to stick to Facebook, I think. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anybody on Periscope anymore? That's it for my mommy monologue. Here is my interview with beautiful mama actress Allison Munn. Do you talk about your kids a lot, or do you like to keep them private? Like,
you know, their
identities.
I don't have a problem with it, and I didn't. You know, on Instagram, I kind of like to show my life, and that's my life right now. Is just, you know, mostly my kids. It's usually just sitting in restaurants watching my children eat things. That's basically my whole life.
Yeah.
And so if I didn't
very slowly.
Oh my god, and messily. It drives me bananas. So if I feel like, you know, I want to post those things, but then I worry, I worry about putting them on the internet.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of feel like that's where everything's going.
I know. I constantly go back and forth about that too, because part of Motherhood in Hollywood is showing the mother side of, you know, my life. And that means posting pictures of her and,
you know, people are like, oh, you're making money off your kid. And I'm like, I'm not making any money.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know what you think.
I know. I don't know what you think I'm making with this podcast.
Money is flying out the windows because of this kid.
But there's a lot of judgment when you put your kids on there. But mostly my concern is like privacy. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, I know our kids go to school together, preschool together, but I don't talk about where they go to school together.
Oh, yeah.
I don't say
would.
The name.
No, I never tag. If I'm somewhere, I never really tag it unless it's a post later, and maybe I'll tag where it was if it's nowhere near my house.
Yeah.
Or anywhere that I frequently, you know, go to with my children. I'm really careful about locations and stuff like that. But
that's the stuff I have to do. And I have to tell my husband, like, stop geotagging everywhere you are.
Yes.
Like, quit it. And he's like, oh, why? And I'm like, because there's crazies.
Right.
There's
or if
crazies.
You're on vacation, I think it's absolutely crazy to be like, oh, the whole family's here.
Right, right. No one's at
our house. I wonder what's happening there. The keys under the mat. You know.
Hashtag keys under the mat.
That's dangerous.
Oh, my God.
So no, you try to, you know, but...
Try it. And you have, I want to start first of all by saying where I first met you was, I had a small little part on your show, Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn.
Yes, you were hilarious.
That's very sweet.
And
thank
I fell
you.
In love with you that time that we
so
met.
Nice.
Yes.
I feel like that was my second full on like sitcom kind of experience, even though it wasn't in front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, are we supposed to reveal that?
No, that's fine.
That?
Yeah,
okay. I just realized. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you know. Those well kept secrets of children's television.
TV. The other one, the first one I did was for an ABC show called Work It, and it was in front of a live audience.
Work It?
And
I tested for Work It.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I was on episode like 6 and it didn't make it past episode 3. So my episode actually never aired.
What a bummer. Did you get to see it though? Like, did they?
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. you dodged a bullet. You dodged a bullet on Work It.
I think I.
Did you audition for the wife, for the mom?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
No, there was a girl at the office, like a real
cutesy
girl at the office.
Yeah,
or something
like
that,
okay,
I
yeah.
I can't quite remember. It's.
Yeah. It was not great. It was not a great moment in television. It was.
Is that the one that was that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Where it was the two guys who were going to dress up as women to get back in the workforce.
Because they were pharmaceutical sales reps or something.
Yeah.
And there are no
men jobs
in that game. So, yeah, I remember.
It was a little silly.
Okay,
silly
but
concept.
It is a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know,
they're all supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my first one. And then the one, but I only went in like the day before for rehearsal and then showed up the night of for taping. It was super fast. But the first one I did that was like the full week was on Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn. And I was super nervous because... That is a nerve-wracking process you go through every week because you have your table reads, your rehearsals, you have lots of notes and changes, and then you have like the network come in and give more notes and changes. And it's what is that like every week to be on that kind of? Do you feel a lot of pressure?
I do. I came up in theater, so this is actually the closest sort of thing that I can do out here that's not theater.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, you know, you're putting on a small play every week.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, I will be honest, it's a lot more fun when you can do it in front of an audience. Because you do, it does fill that live audience. There's nothing like it. You know, you can, you guys, the audience and the actors can play off each other in ways that you just can't recreate in this setting. I mean... The poor camera operators and the crew, they're supposed to laugh. And it's just, you know, sometimes we'll be like, all right, John, I heard that fake laugh. Let's you know, thanks for trying, you know, because they're trying to give us like the rhythm because we do and the kids need to know where the laughter is going to come in because they're going to add a laugh track. So if we just barrel through the jokes, then, you know, so we do need to have a sense of timing. But the fake laughter is just like it's just like a stake in our heart. Although I was on a show. What I like about you, I did that show for a few years and they had a live audience and it was so much fun. They had a DJ. They had like door prizes.
Like a big party.
It was so much fun. I mean, every time I hear that song, "Go Shorty, it's your birthday," it was during that time. If I can take you back. So that was always just I'm blasting. But they did hire 5 or 6 professional laughers.
Shut
and there was this
up.
Woman.
Is that a job?
Yes, or it used to be. I have no idea. But there was this woman who sat front and center, like 3 rows back, for every single episode. And her laugh drove me bananas. And I don't know if it was a natural laugh.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't. If she's a profesh laugher.
It's one of those like weirdo laughs that make other people laugh around you. You know, like they just, I guess it's an infectious laugh, but I had heard her, they had hired her because I had done a couple of pilots with the WB before I got on What I Like About You. And maybe she was just sort of in their little group of laughers. So she had been on other pilots that I had done. And I was like, oh my God, that's that lady. It's this laughter that just would send like tingles down my spine. So, you know.
Oh my gosh.
There's that too. So it is, it can be also distracting.
Yeah.
But no, to get back to your original point, it's like putting on a small play. It's a lot of fun. But I will tell you, even, you know, on a show that's not, you know, the hit show of television. It's not like The Big Bang Theory or something. Mm-hmm. It's still incredibly nerve-wracking. You feel an intense amount of pressure because our writers are so fantastic and so talented. And they write these great scripts and you want to give them justice. You want to give them the best performance so that they can hear their words. And when, like, if I bomb a joke, mm-hmm. you can feel it. And the tension is, like, so thick and you can see them scribbling.
But isn't it also possible that they've just written maybe a not-so-great joke?
For sure. And you know what's so smart?
Because we as actors put so much pressure on ourselves to be like, oh, I didn't make that funny. Well, maybe it just wasn't funny.
And a lot of times they will own up to it, like, mm-hmm. 100%. I always feel like it's my job to make it funny. Like, yeah. I have to find a way. And you're right. Sometimes it just doesn't quite. It's just the words aren't right. But and the writers are so smart. On a Monday, I might be like, oh, this feels a little funny. I'm not going to say anything, but it feels a little funny. I swear they see it. They almost always see it. And by Tuesday, it's fixed.
Yeah.
Tuesday is the day I hate the most. Tuesday is – Monday's tough because we get the script and we have to put it on its feet in a few hours.
Yeah.
Usually, with the way a sitcom normally goes, you get the script on Monday. You have a table read. You might do like a light – rehearsal, but you don't have a run through that day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually your first run through for the writers is on, and for the producers is on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday you have your network run through. So you've had 3 days to really work it.
Right.
Well, we do our network run through on Tuesdays because we need 3 days to shoot.
Yeah.
So we shoot Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Most shows shoot Thursday and Friday.
Why do you need 3 days? You think it's because of the kids?
It's absolutely
because there's so many kids.
There are a lot of kids. And when we first started, they didn't know anything.
They were very
green. They're amazing now. Their learning curve is incredible to watch. But we still need the time.
Yeah.
We just can't get through it. And that's why we don't do an audience show either, because we can't just go through with an audience show. You go through your scenes twice, maybe three times, and then you're done. We might do a scene. We might do a four-line exchange of a scene a few times just to get that right and then move on. Just because when you're working with kids, and it's not just our core kids, we have so many kids
all
that come
their
in.
Friends,
that
all of the kids from the school and kids.
And a lot of those kids
world.
Are inexperienced. So you can't count on being able to get through things quickly. So anyway, Tuesdays are just we have to get our rewrites from Monday. The things that didn't quite work on Monday, they try and rework it on Tuesday. You're really gunning on Tuesday to keep those jokes in. Because also, if I bomb a joke, it's out.
Yeah.
And I really want my jokes.
You know?
So
do they then take it away from you?
Sometimes, if it doesn't work. And a lot of times with, you know, we already have X's over our heads as the adults on a kid's show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, and I get it. When I was a kid, I didn't really want to watch adults make jokes.
Be the funny ones, yeah.
I don't know. I am also stopped by a lot of parents who watch the show and they say, oh my God, thank God for the parents. Thank God for the parents. You guys are so funny. It's what keeps me watching. And I think anything that keeps parents watching with their children is a good thing. And I do think that Brian, the guy who plays my husband, that we're able to provide that. Tuesday run through comes, you know, and you're looking at a sea of people. You have all the writers and producers and
so
then
much pressure.
All of network.
And it's all the network. It's all the people who are basically in control of your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If you can imagine if whatever your job is, if you have to go in every day and do like a presentation for like all of the bigwigs and the vice presidents and whatever. And then at the end of it, they could go, well, that sucked, or hey, that was great, or whatever. Like, it's just so much pressure.
And I've been in this game for a really long time. Tuesdays are just, I still have a little bit of a nervous, like sweaty palms before run through. I'm worried about the way I look. I want to look, because these are the people that hire you and can fire you, and you want to.
But would they though? This is my question. Like, you're an established character on this show. They're not going to kill off the mom on a kids show.
It would be a very special episode.
It would be a really special and sad episode of Nikki, Ricky, Diggy, yeah. and Dawn.
I don't know. I just always feel like that, you know, we're you know, I would hope not. I think that we provide a valuable part of the show. I think we're a valuable part of the show, and I would hope.
Do you feel, as an actress, a lot of pressure to look a certain way or to maintain your gorgeousness?
I definitely do. And it's funny because I am not in the category. I never have been in the category of the pretty girl, like the model-y sort of girl.
Really?
I'm usually that girl's best friend.
That's so funny to me because you're gorgeous, blonde.
Thank you. You're very sweet. Like, but I so luckily I haven't had to have that extreme pressure. I will take it. That's great. All those you pretty girls can go and have those jobs because there is a lot of pressure with that. I can't imagine.
Give me an idea of like what, and you don't have to get specific if you don't want to, but like what kind of pressure do you feel? Do people come up to you and say, hey, you're gaining a little bit of weight, or is wardrobe like, oh, these pants are not fitting you anymore, or hey, you're getting some lines in your face? What kinds of things do they say that would add like that kind of pressure?
They are very kind. This is coming from my track, which is not the beauty. I'm always like the funny girl, but the funny girl still has to be cute, unfortunately.
Sure,
like you still have to be skinny and cute and pretty, and
because that's real life.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because look around, isn't everyone just so beautiful?
Isn't everyone railed in and gorgeous?
No, it's that gets into a whole separate thing. Like fittings are my nightmare. I will stress about a fitting because. Whenever, you know, just the average person goes to try on clothes, and don't you hate like staring at yourself in the mirror and like, I hate shopping for that reason. Well, this is added pressure. You're basically trying on clothes for an entire hour and a half where people talk about your butt in front of you.
Yeah.
They say, oh, you know what? That one hugs, you know what? Sorry, honey, that's a little hippie. That is definitely not your style. And they have to talk this way because that's their job. Their job is to make me look good. Their job is to protect me from all of my imperfections, you know, but they talk about them and that really stinks. And as nice and as sweet as our costumers are, and they never say anything. They don't really ever say anything negative. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they were really nice.
I read between the lines.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not their fault. It's probably my fault. They'll say, no, honey, that's not quite right. I'm like, oh yeah, because my ass is so big. That's my problem.
Yeah.
That's not, but it just feeds, like you were asking, it just sort of feeds insecurity. The insecurity.
Yeah. That we as actors naturally have because you're putting yourself out there to be judged, on camera constantly. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what the pressure would be like being on a show regularly every day. What do you think is happening? Have you been watching This Is Us?
I just saw the I haven't watched any television. I feel really bad because I have a couple of friends who are on shows that I actually need to support. I'm recording it all. I watched the pilot of This Is Us and I absolutely loved it.
What do you think is happening? Like, there's a really heavy lady on there right now. Do you think that's an anomaly? Or do you think that we're going to start seeing a trend of TV shows putting more quote-unquote real-looking people or curvier people and maybe take some of the pressure off? Or do you think it's just sort of like a trend at the moment?
I think it's a trend at the moment. I really do.
I
hate that.
I would love to say that because I've asked my friends about this and I would love to be like, yes, this is the way TV's going. But yeah.
I you know, you have Molly McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Sorry, my brain is not. I told you, my coffee.
That's
Melissa
fine.
McCarthy, who is, you know, I think she is amazing and incredible, but you can hear network executives going, oh, she's a bigger girl. We gotta get our bigger girl on our network because you have Rebel Wilson, and then you have, so.
There's literally two.
Are there two? I'm trying to think
back.
No,
there's literally two that you could name. You name Melissa McCarthy and Rebel Wilson. Those are the two, I think, as far as like, you know, the creating roles for bigger girls now. And I absolutely agree with you that there's probably networks going, now we need to get a chubby gal on. We need to get a bigger girl.
Which I think is so messed up because then it becomes, then you think that they were hired because of a gimmicky hire when they are truly incredible comedians in their own right. And
right.
It's just not fair that they're sort of labeled with that.
Totally.
But
it's just one of the other BS things that happens in Hollywood. Okay, so thinking about then your role as mom, How does that kind of stuff make you feel? Do you ever take any of that home, any of the insecurities or stuff that you have to deal with? Do you ever already, like, you try to kind of keep that to yourself and not let your kids see you going, oh, my ass is so big.
Oh, I will never let my, I'll never let my kids hear me say that. Mm-hmm. My husband has to hear it.
Mine does too, though. Mine does too. And he's like, well, it is. No.
You know, Nate, so my son is so funny. We do this thing because on Tuesdays, this Tuesday that drives Tuesdays make me so nervous. The one benefit to that is we have an early run through on Tuesdays. We do it at like 2:30. So I'm out by 3:30, and that's just so cool to me. So I go straight to pick up from mm-hmm. our school, and I'll pick up my son. The nanny's with my daughter at home. So I have about an hour to play with, and we usually do this thing I call Donut Tuesdays. So we'll go get donuts, and Nate always like, Mommy, it's just so crazy. You don't like donuts and you don't like yogurt. I do, because we go get frozen yogurt too. You just don't like it. And I'm thinking, oh, honey.
You have no
I
idea.
I love it. But he doesn't. I always tell him I don't like it. It's not really my thing.
Yeah.
Instead of saying I can't have that, I'm not eating that. Or I'll always say, I'm just not hungry right now, which is usually true. I'm not hungry. Right, I do want that donut. Right. I'll just shove it in my mouth even though I'm not hungry, but I'm not going to. Right. You know, so he thinks
that's
just
incredible
don't like
those self-restraint because I would be like, give me that donut.
Oh, man. Well, the problem is I usually have just gotten through with a fitting where my ego has been shattered. You know, it's also part of this. In the past 5 years, I've had two babies. Mm-hmm. And my body, I don't even know what my body is anymore. I look at it, I'm like, I don't understand this thing that's attached to my head.
Right. It's got to be definitely a mental block to get over about like what you look like versus what everyone else thinks you look mm-hmm. like versus, you know, trying to have just some self-confidence and being like, this is just who I am. Let's just deal with it.
Hollywood. I will say, like, as I'm getting older, it's definitely coming. And I always heard that was going to happen. I was mm-hmm. like, not me. I'm riddled with insecurities. It's happening. And it's not that I'm becoming so much more comfortable with, I mean, it's not like I look in the mirror and I'm like, girl, you banging. Like, it's not that. It's, I care less what other people think.
Yeah. And that's a big part of it.
I just don't care.
That's why I will post pictures on Instagram where I have no makeup on and my hair looks crazy. And people are like, why did you post that picture? Because a lot of my mom friends in the mommy world will post these pictures where they look amazing, like full hair makeup and gorgeous, like they just stepped out of the salon. And I'm just like, meh.
That's a problem with social media. My son started preschool at a different preschool, and there was a mom there that was on social media as a mom, mm-hmm. you know, as a
mommy blogger,
and she very lifestyle, very aspirational. And so I would see her, and she would look like she had been hit by a truck. Like she looked like all of us, you
right,
know,
right.
dropping her kid off at school,
yeah.
And then a few minutes later, she would post, oh, preschool drop off, always a pleasure. And it was a photo shoot from like, who knows when.
Shut up.
Where like she did look amazing and she was wearing beautiful clothes and her hair and nails, everything was done. Yeah, it's so fake. But I had followed her before I even, so I kind of like, I was a little bit of a celebrity sighting when I saw her at the school.
Sure.
And it just, it kind of blew it all apart for
me.
And in the best way.
Was it Gwen Stefani?
Stefani, yeah. It was somebody nobody would know even, by the way. It was just somebody I happened to end up following.
Because I feel like Gwen Stefani always has on like makeup and hair and she's like in full rock star mode constantly.
I have a friend who is friends with her and they'll post photos sometimes from like just a play date or a birthday party mm-hmm. and she's gorgeous.
She's amazing,
so stunning,
right?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah. She just, her and I feel like Heidi Klum also. Those are mm-hmm. the two moms who I feel like just walk around just being gorgeous.
Do you ever follow, do you follow Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Really? Like, that's just not fair. And I don't feel like she's even trying that hard. She just is so damn pretty.
I feel like, though, she might be.
Really?
And that's
please tell me.
And that's, well, I feel like she might be trying harder than what she lets on.
Okay, good.
That's
that
just
makes
my impression.
Feel
because nothing on the internet is real. Nothing on Instagram or, you know, on Facebook or whatever is real.
Okay, that makes me feel better. Yeah. It really does.
I feel like, because I'm, you know, come on. Nobody
I just don't understand
wakes
who
up
can
in
like
full hair and makeup. And
I still don't understand this mythical person who can be a mom, work, and also make food for everyone. That's what I don't. That's what I haven't figured out yet.
I cook dinner sometimes.
I mean, how?
But a lot of time I just throw stuff in like the crock pot. I mean, I'm from Oklahoma, so
I love a
lot
pot.
Of it is fried and crock potted. But so it's just super easy. And then, you know, by 6 o'clock, everything's ready to go. And I could be like, look, I made this meal, when really I've been like sleeping.
That's great.
Or like,
I just cannot pull it together. Computer. I can feed that. Part of it's also my problem. I have like, my son's a really picky eater. My daughter is just now sort of eating, like, she's only one, so she's like 12 months.
Just
so
doing
she's
like, eating, finger, like foods
finger foods and stuff. So I feel like I make his meal, I make her meal. I do this thing where I like kind of stir in dog food, not for my children, for my dogs, with wet dog food.
I was
food.
Like, whoa.
So I kind of prepare a thing for my dogs. It's really fast and easy, but it's another preparation.
Yeah.
So I've got my son, my daughter, the two dogs. When it gets around to me and my husband, when my husband gets home from work, he gets home almost like right when I'm putting the kids down. I can't do it anymore.
We'll get back to the interview with Allison Munn in just a moment, but I want to tell you guys quickly about Up4 Probiotics. If you've ever been curious about what exactly a probiotic is, well, I can tell you it's a beneficial bacteria that resides within your gastrointestinal tract. Now, what does all of that mean? It means when you take a probiotic, it reinforces the healthy bacteria within your gut. Who doesn't want that, right? It can give you an increased immune support. It can help your digestive system. There are numerous benefits to taking a probiotic. If you'd like to learn more about it, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com and click on the Up4 Probiotic image, and that will take you right to their page where you can find out how Up4 Probiotics can work for you. You can also find them in your local Target store in the vitamin and supplement section. If you'd like to take some home next time you're shopping at Target, just head up there and grab some Up4 Probiotics. I also want to tell you guys about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump. It's the first pump of its kind to use Bluetooth technology. And here's how it works. It pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app. Yeah, there's an app on your phone and helps you track breastfeeding and bottle feeding sessions, diaper changes, and your baby's growth, all of the touch of a finger on your phone. That way, for my new moms who are so tired and you're exhausted from being up all night with your breastfeeding sessions, you don't have to worry about grabbing a pen and paper and writing all that down. You're probably already on your phone anyway, so you might as well open up your Lansinoh Baby app, pair it up quickly with your smart pump, and you're good to go, tracking all of your breastfeeding sessions. Pretty great, huh? The Lansinoh Smart Pump also features a hygienic closed system design, and that's super important to help prevent mold and bacteria growth in the pump and motor tubing. So keep that in mind when you're checking out the Lansinoh Pump. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, find out how you can start making the Lansinoh Smart Pump work for you.
What does he do? I know he's an actor too, right?
He was an actor for a really long time, and then like a few years ago, he had an opportunity to switch careers, and he's a producer now.
Oh,
full-on
wow.
producer.
That's
loves
great.
It. He's most of the time in the office. He's in development and he's at the office from like 9 to 5, 10 to 6, something
so
like that.
So somewhat more normal hours than like actory hours.
Yeah. For sure. But then he just came back from, he was in Vancouver for 2 months, and that really sucks.
Yeah.
Because at the time I was
How
in full production.
How did you manage? Did you have to get like full-time help?
For some of the time my mother was here, which was incredible
nice.
Help.
Yeah.
And then, I had to get, who was I? Talk about Gwen Stefani. I had two nannies.
Oh my gosh. Look at you.
No, I had a backup. Big like deal. I had somebody who came, because my nanny has two children of her own, so she has to leave at a certain time and she can't get there before a certain time. So I had to have somebody come and pick up extra hours just as, while my husband was gone, because I was in production full time.
Yeah.
There was no other option.
Now you're from South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm from Oklahoma, and I don't know about how you grew up, but I didn't have a nanny.
Oh no.
And the idea of a nanny was very like she, like, oh, excuse me.
Right.
Who do you think you are?
Right.
Well, I come out here, and when, I remember I was talking to my boss, I used to work for a local news station here. I was telling my boss, like, I'm going to have a baby. You know, she's like, oh, great. We'll have to start, you know, researching nannies and stuff. And I was like, nanny? I'm not going to get a nanny. Like, who can afford a nanny? And as I learned more about it, everybody out here has them. It's not the dirty word that I sort of had in my mind, you know. And now I'm like, I desperately wish I had a nanny. I'm like, who can I hire?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I honestly didn't know a single kid who had a nanny growing up.
Me neither.
I don't know how they did it. I guess, did the moms not work?
I think, well, I think it was moms. I think also family. family stepped in. Like my grandma. Right.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah, it's so foreign to me. My family's all the way across the country.
They're so far away. Everybody in LA is just so, there's so many transplants here that we don't have our families close by. But back home, my grandma was there. Sure. My great grandma took care of me most of the time. And aunts, uncles, you know, that sort of thing.
And that's really sad too. Like we had my son, I had a different nanny with my son and she ended up getting
getting an offer.
No, she got she got better. She probably got paid higher than an actress on a TV show. She got an offer to go and work for kind of a very big celebrity. Yeah. I forget, like $15 to $18 an hour. I don't know the going
rate. That's about average. Yeah.
I think she jumped to like $70 an hour. It was something insane.
That's crazy.
And guess what? She was the night nanny. She was just sleeping.
She was the night nurse?
She was just sleeping. No, not even a night nurse. This was for children who were already like 3 or 4.
Wow.
So she would go and take like from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. and she had a bed. This is in case the children woke up.
Just in case they woke up, not if they were actually having problems.
Yeah, and she was getting paid that amount. I was like, well, I need go with God. I'm so happy for you. But
I need a different career.
I'm trying to keep her in our lives because that's the it makes me sad that my son doesn't get to see his grandparents every day and aunts and uncles. I do. My sister just moved here in the past year. So that's
incredible. I saw her. She looks just like you.
Yeah. She's cutie pie. It's great to have her. Because
remember, I think I walked up. I went up to you at whatever the end of the year barbecue was or something at the school.
Oh, yeah, at the school.
And I was creepy standing behind you like, I know you from somewhere.
No, you
were not. I know this. You probably get this a lot, but I actually think I know you.
Yeah, you're like, no, we actually know each other. We actually know each other. Yeah, and we did.
Yeah.
So it's good to have my sister here, but I am trying to keep these people in my son's life because that is the closest thing sort of that we have to family.
Yeah. It's, yeah. That is really a challenge for LA actors and LA transplants because you don't have your family nearby. And I think that's a big reason too, why so many people hesitate before they have kids, because when you're out here and you have start your family, you literally are fending for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing to do. And if you don't have the means to pay for a nanny or childcare, it can be really daunting and really frustrating to especially to continue your career.
Oh my gosh, like just to be a normal, like just to think about it's so easy to lose your life once you have a child.
Oh,
and
totally.
It's a cross we all have to bear. But when you think about, okay, if I want to just go out, my husband and I, we're going to go out and see a movie. Most nannies, so let's say, you know, it's $15-$20 an hour. They require 4 hours minimum. Yeah. Or it's not worth their time to come watch your child. Think about that money just walking out the door before you even spend the money on dinner and a movie. It's.
I can recommend a place that only has a 2-hour minimum if you would like that information.
2 hours.
And they're really great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great for like auditions and
stuff. It is. Yeah, that's what I use them for if I need to. Like, I actually have really amazing friends who have stepped up, the ones I was telling you about who maybe don't have kids yet or in like various life stages, have been amazing to step in and help because
that's incredible.
I'll call them and go, hey, I have an audition tomorrow afternoon. Are you free? And they're like, sure, you know, and they'll come over for a couple hours and they'll play with my daughter. And she loves it. And because of that, I personally think because of that, she's really great about talking to adults.
Mm-hmm.
She can communicate with grown-ups, like, you know, and then at school she gets all of that kid interaction too. So
it's kind of the perfect
world. It is. It's really good. And so my friends have been incredibly helpful in that way. They've sort of been my family out here.
Do you feel like I need to make you dinner? I need to
I try never to take advantage of their kindness.
Sure.
I always offer to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them say no.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all also actors too, so I'm like, please let me give you something. Like,
exactly.
Can I buy you a meal? Let me buy you some shoes, whatever.
Right.
You know,
anything. Like, let me just do a little something. Gift to like let you know that
that they're appreciated. And most of the time they say no and that they're happy to do it, which is just really great.
That's incredible.
And everybody's so busy that recently I've had to start like getting a little roster of babysitters and stuff on standby, which I think is one thing I tell all of my mom actor friends who are trying to figure it out. I'm like, get some babysitters who are willing to be sort of on standby, check out services and stuff like that, so that when those last minute auditions pop up, you can, you know, have somebody to call. You can have a way to a backup plan. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
So it's not so stressful.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, especially with my first kid, I was even just hiring a nanny. We ended up going through a recommendation, but when I was just looking through profiles on, you know, this care.com or any of those sites, you're like, oh, for sure, they're going to sell my baby on the black market and I will never see him again.
Right.
For me, it was so hard to trust those sites, but from and then I've ended up having two separate nannies that I've gotten through friends. Mm-hmm. But I will say all my friends that have used sites like that, or mm-hmm. they have had incredible experiences. They found wonderful caregivers. And so I had
some bad ones where like they either didn't show up for the interview or they showed up like 2 hours late.
Great.
Yeah.
So why come?
It's not going to work. Yeah. No, it's not going to work. But there was one that I did get, and she was amazing. And I'm really sad that she's like working now. She has a regular job, a real job. So childcare is always a constant battle. When you are on your off season mm-hmm. of your show, are you still auditioning for other projects, or are you kind of like taking it easy, or?
That's a hard question, because in my head, what I would like to do is just my goals are different than my actions. My goals are just go for the gold, go constantly back out and be a machine, hustle. Why not? You have a nanny, you have a system in place right now where you can do it. Mm-hmm. I just had 7 weeks off and I did not have a single audition. Of course, I didn't rattle the chains really. I didn't, I didn't try to get any.
You just sort of enjoy your time? Because you're allowed to do that. Like,
well, you know what's
just
so great?
Your
this
break.
Is such a this was 7 weeks. It was such a golden time. I've always been on shows that are on the bubble. I've never had a show that we knew was going to come back for five more seasons, and I could just I always have this panic and anxiety in me that about where's the next job coming from?
Right.
We just had a 7 week hiatus where I knew I have 10 episodes. We're coming back to 10 episodes. I knew when I was in it that it was this golden cloud of an opportunity mm-hmm. to just kind of relax. Relax is in quotation marks.
Yeah.
I have two kids. But I kind of allowed myself to do that a little bit. We went to Palm Springs. I went to see Dolly Parton at the Bowl.
Oh my God. Was it amazing?
I saw A View from the Bridge at the Amundsen. Like, I did some things that I wouldn't typically do if I was in production, because mm-hmm. it's just too much. If I was trying to, you know, I kind of lived my life like a normal person and enjoyed it.
And how did that feel?
It felt great.
Yeah.
It felt really great.
And because I know you're getting ready to go back into production next week. So are you just
you know what? I'm really glad to get back. There's something about having because it's such being a mom is so isolating mm-hmm. and you're kind of just in your house with your kids, which is great. But also you need other stimulation.
Yeah.
So
which is why this podcast exists.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming to my house.
Thanks for having me. You're saving my life this week. I'm happy to have adult interactions. Right. And I love my job so much. I couldn't be happier there.
Do you ever feel any like guilt at all, like where you're like, oh, I'm here I am, you know, away from my kids and like doing this amazing show? Because I know some actors stop acting when they have kids because mm-hmm. they don't want to be away from them so much.
No, but when my kids will go through phases sometimes where they're a little clingier mm-hmm. and when I walk out the door, if there's a child raising their arms up at me and saying mama, mama and crying, yes, I feel horrible on the drive, but then I get to work and I'm fine. You know, I'm okay. I think it's good for kids to see their parents going off and having a life.
Yeah.
And making a life, working for something and hustling. I think that's an important lesson to impart to your children.
Yeah.
At least I try and think of it that way.
No, I love that. No, it's true. I mean, I have to remind myself of that too when I go off and do stuff. Like, sometimes I take Chan with me to auditions, mm-hmm. and she's so great about it. She's like, me and mommy go to audition, and I'm going to sit quietly.
Next thing you know, she's going to be in a commercial.
You know, I think about that, but I don't know. I can barely get myself to audition sometimes. I can't imagine trying to haul her all over town too. And I feel like the kids' auditions are so fierce.
Oh, they really. And like I have a friend whose daughter is in that game, and they drive up from San Diego.
Oh,
yeah, it's incredible.
But the kids always seem so insincere, and I'm sure they're all lovely. Don't mm-hmm. hate me.
No, I get it. I see kid actors.
I know
every
you
day.
Do.
Yeah,
I
am.
They just seem like they're not genuine people. They're all trying to be caricatures of what they think they're mm-hmm. supposed to be, and that drives me a little crazy.
There are a few that come through and you can just tell this kid wants it.
Yeah.
And that's really fun to see.
Yeah.
I've seen some, and I'm not saying with our core group of kids, the four kids on our show. Right. It's like I said, we have so many children guest stars and recurring guest
but
stars
you
that I've kind
see.
Of gotten to
you
know.
Can
you
tell
can
the
see.
Difference.
You can see which parent where it's the parent's dream, not the kid's dream.
That's so interesting.
It's really sad.
Do you see a lot of momagers and dadagers?
Oh my gosh. I have stories I can't talk about.
Go on.
No. It's sad. It's creepy.
Are they like
it's
yelling at them in the corner, like, get this right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to say so many things right now, and I can't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's. I've seen stuff that almost feels like abuse, but, you know.
Well, this is why we need to go and have coffee yeah. outside of this, and then you can just tell me all the dirt. So you mentioned briefly that you were on the show with Amanda Bynes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still talk to Amanda Bynes?
I don't. You know, we lost touch right at... We were
Because she went tight. A little cray.
Yeah, I don't know what... I truly don't know what happened there. Mm-hmm. We were really good friends. In fact... Like, she lived at one point, like, across the street from me. And so she was in my house at all times. Like, we were very, very close at the time. Which was a little weird because I was 20...
You were older than her.
28. And I was playing 18. I was playing her best friend.
Yeah.
That was a very strange part of my life because I was... Because
she was how old then?
She had turned 18 on the show. Yeah. Well, she was 17. She was, I think, maybe 16 when we started. And I was maybe turning 29, 30.
Yeah.
You know, I was... significantly older playing her age.
TV, so many.
And I was always, you know, you said it's hard to think about once you're on a show getting axed. I saw a looming axe literally over my head because I was so, I felt like I was miscast in a way because I was so much older than she was. And once everyone figured that out, I think everyone probably knew, but once everyone, I mean, my friends knew, the cast knew, obviously, but like once, I'm sure network knew, but once in my brain, I was like, oh my gosh, once they figure that out, I'm going to be axed. And it was a constant refrain in my head for 3 years. I actually saw a therapist to help me deal with my anxiety about being fired.
From that show specifically?
It kind of turned into a thing. It's fed my anxiety, my whole career. I'm always, and I hate, that's one of the things I hate about this profession, is that you don't really have job security. It is always... stresses me out. I swear every table read, I'm like, let me just get through this and not get fired. Because I've seen so many people fired right after a table read.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So many times. It's been sort of the one thing in my life that has caused me anxiety. I feel like when I was just because of various way my family was growing up, I used to have like fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
And then I met this amazing man and that kind of went away. But what replaced it was fear of being fired.
Fear of being fired.
Kind of the same thing.
That's so interesting because this business is so, it's a freelance by nature. Mm-hmm. So they can and fire you on a whim. And also I think California is like an at-will state, and I don't even think about California laws even covering actors and stuff like that because we're so ingrained in SAG and, you know, all that.
Exactly.
It's so crazy to me that happens, that you could get hired for a job coming. I mean, I've heard of people like shooting the pilots, shooting a couple episodes and then getting let go. Like, look what happened to Eric Stoltz and Michael J.
Oh my
Fox.
God. Yes.
With Back to the Future. Yes. They filmed for 6 weeks on that movie and then they were like, this isn't working.
I can't believe that. I couldn't believe it when I read that.
It would have been a totally different movie. But
they made the right choice.
I just feel like it just happens. It's the nature of the beast. It hasn't happened to me yet, but I also don't get large parts. I mean, most of my parts are pretty small. So if I go in and I mess up that one line... You know, they could literally just grab the background person behind me and have them do it.
I have literally seen that happen a lot. Even on Nikki, Ricky, Diggy, and Dawn, it happens a lot.
Really?
Where it's a guy with a couple lines, they don't quite like the way he's saying it, and the next day there's a new guy, and I feel horrible for the old guy.
I can tell you, I have... The most pressure I've ever felt was on your show.
Really?
Was on Nikki, Ricky, Diggy, and Dawn.
People would not believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure. And I only felt nervous when all of a sudden everyone was there for the, I think it was on, I don't know, maybe it was like Wednesday or whenever
the network run.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that's my horrible day. That's my Tuesday. That's why I go get donuts with Nate after.
Well, you should. But you just watch
him eat a donut, which may be adding to the anxiety
you
of my
just
Tuesdays.
The smell of it.
It's no longer Donut Tuesday. It's
maybe
Anxiety Tuesday.
Treat yourself to a donut. Maybe that will help take the edge off.
Okay, fine.
But I remember feeling like, oh my God, they think I'm terrible. Because you start looking and you see people like stepping to the side and whispering. And then you see people kind of look at you and then they nod and they whisper. And then they make the movement where they like are like cutting the throat. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm glad that you're saying this because I want to tell you from my perspective, your performance, everyone loved.
Oh, that's really nice.
People were so happy to have you there. They talked about you. And I know you think your part wasn't big. People talked about you. They're like, oh my God, she was awesome. She was hilarious.
Are you sure? That's really nice to hear. Because
so I think it's good for your listeners to hear both sides, to hear what you thought was going on in your crazy brain.
Yeah, yeah,
and then what was actually going on Yeah. We loved you.
That's nice.
And we thought you added to the scene. You were hilarious. You
That's really good. I felt like I was letting the writer down because the writer...
we always do. That's
the writer came up to me and said, "This I wrote this character. It's one of my favorite characters I've ever written." And then, of course, I'm like, oh, God. I have to nail these three lines like never before. And it was just like a tremendous... I just didn't want him to be disappointed. And then I see him like step to the side with the director, Shannon Flynn.
Oh, Shannon's fantastic.
Yeah, she's so great. Her.
I'm glad she was directing that episode.
That's yeah, great. She was. I think she's actually going to come on the podcast too in a couple weeks because I need to interview a director. I remember they were talking, they're whispering, and they were like pointing at me and like all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And you just get nervous. So I, and that's on a very small level. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine week after week, day after day, having that kind of level of scrutiny. I understand that you have some anxieties and some mm-hmm. frustrations. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm fascinated with how you're able to still keep going. Cause I think people, when they see the final product, are just like, oh, it looks like they're having so much fun.
And we are.
And you are.
Yeah, we are. I do want to make sure
but
I say that.
But it's still a job.
It's a job.
It's a job.
And that's, I'm telling you, sitcom, and I'm sure you know, sitcom is its own special beast.
It is.
It doesn't look hard, but it's
super hard.
It's super hard. And there, you have to be the kind of person that gets that energy. We have had actors who are very good mm-hmm. come on the show and they just can't quite hit the rhythms and the beats because they don't quite know how to.
And a kids
know,
show is different. It's so much bigger. Show is so,
it's so its much own more, very, very yeah. tiny special beast.
Yeah.
And my acting part, the guy who plays my husband, Brian, mm-hmm. is amazing and hilarious. And we talk about it all the time about how you just have to have this one very, it's a very weird skill. Mm-hmm. And if you can do it, then you can do this. It's not even sitcom. It's kid show sitcom. It's different.
It's kid show sitcoms. A totally different beast. Yeah.
And now I'm scared because I haven't been auditioning. Well, because I had a baby.
So. Yeah.
I didn't want to sound like I've been completely lazy.
No.
I grew a baby inside of me and then had it. And then, you know.
I don't think anyone thinks you're being lazy. I don't think anybody thinks
but
that.
But that's why I haven't really auditioned in a few years because I was kind of doing this mom thing for a bit. But I'm really terrified that, you know, once I go back out there. Everything's going to
start auditioning again.
I'm going to go in for like a CSI and do kid show sitcom acting because that's my instinct right now.
Is that the murder weapon? Yeah.
Is that the murder weapon?
I want to see that version of CSI. The sitcom version of CSI would be amazing.
Oh, we got to do that. That would be so fun.
Oh my gosh. That would be fun. Moms do CSI.
Yeah.
Well, I am excited to see kind of like what happens next. You have one more season. Are you waiting?
We're finishing out these 10 episodes. Okay. We were very fortunate and excited to get. And then we'll see. Typically in this world, they do 3 seasons and you're out. And this is our 3rd season. But
that's true. Sometimes they go longer.
Sometimes, occasionally they will go longer, and we're doing very well. The audiences seem to love the kids, and the kids are we were a young show when we started, and now mm-hmm. they're like 13, 14. I feel like they're getting into the core demographic of Nickelodeon. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we'll get another season. I don't want to say goodbye to these kids yet. I don't want to say goodbye to this job yet.
To the regular job,
This was like big surprise for me. I'd never done a kids show. I had just had a kid. I'd had my first son, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, I really, the only job I want to go out for, because it was pilot season, I only want a sitcom because I want to be able to take him to school and pick him up from school. Mm-hmm. And there aren't that many anymore.
There aren't. It's a dying breed.
Sure. So you're kind of relegated. I mean, if you're not on one of these big ones that stay forever, like on, you know, Big Bang Theory or, mm-hmm. you know, Mom or Two Broke Girls, you kind of go into the kids show realm. And I had no idea how professional, and I didn't have a point of reference for kids shows. Mm-hmm. My child at the time was watching like Barney mm-hmm. and Blue's Clues. Oh, so nice. I really thought that's what the production value. And by the way, I love Blue's Clues. I think Blue's Clues is a fantastic show for kids.
Yeah.
That was the production level I was expecting. I literally brought to work. I brought like wardrobe and makeup on the first day because I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't know? Oh my gosh.
And I get there and it's
super profession.
We're at Paramount.
Yeah.
Every hair and makeup has been on. They're from Desperate Housewives, and everybody is, because you know everybody's half the crew I'd worked with on like other sitcoms,
other shows and
like
stuff.
70 Show or What I Like About You. Like mm-hmm. I knew them all. It was just I was so excited and happy to be in this world of of people that I we've kind of bumped into each other throughout our careers.
It's a small town. Like
it is.
I've run into makeup and hair people before that I've done other shows with.
Yeah, so. It's or they at least they know their best friend is on that show and they work with you. It's I was so happy when I was shocked and pleasantly surprised and happy when I first started the show.
Do you want to continue doing like this type of show?
Or I don't would know you if like it's this because different... I don't know this world. I just know this one show mm-hmm. that I've been on, and I would do this until the end of time. I would do this until season 10. I love it, you know, so much. I don't know. I don't know what the other sets are like, but this one is we've all become family, and it's a great place to work. I love it.
Well, I had a wonderful time.
Well, so we loved having you.
I feel like the only thing your show is missing is another visit from the old truck driver, the old janitor lady.
You know what this episode's missing? This episode is missing.
I know, right? We need. I did have that song that we sang. There was a song we sang. I had it looped in my head for days. It was like, sing out loud, sing out proud.
Every voice deserves a
na 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 na. Yeah. Yep. That was
it. Oh gosh, that song killed
me. And now it's gonna be in your head.
And I was super pregnant at the time, so I had like my patience was even like at a mm-hmm. lower level. And I remember that drove me bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, kid shows.
Well, I'm excited to see kind of like what happens next. Of course, we'll be watching the show.
Thank you.
And we'll be cheering you on.
Thanks.
Maybe I'll run into you at school. Maybe not. Probably not. I feel like we're probably on opposite
schedules. Well, when I'm in production, schedules. I kind of pick up late, which I hate having to do. I pick them up like around 5.
Yeah.
So, and you're not there that late, are you?
No, huh?
And a lot of times my husband will do drop off. So I can get
I feel
to
like
work.
I've seen your husband drew drop off before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so I can
but
get
I
to
don't
work.
Want to be the, again, I don't want to be the creepy lady that's like, hi, I know, I don't, you don't know me, but
be
I know
the creeper.
You.
Yeah. Be the creeper. So he's really weird. Nice. He's awesome.
He does hold the gate open for me, which I appreciate.
Oh, so he's from the South also. No, so he learned
where's
that
he from?
There. He's from South Carolina. We grew up together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah. That's adorable.
Yeah.
You grew up together as in like, together, like you knew each other.
We knew
or
each other
in the same town.
We in the same town. We knew each other. He was my best friend's boyfriend, but like she was 12. They were 12, and then we lost touch for a few years,
yeah.
And then like came back together and got married and had babies.
Get out of here! That's so cute. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, we didn't get married. We didn't start dating until we were in our 30s. But so it's not like we dated that whole time.
Yeah. But
it's
that's
sweet.
So sweet. Very romantic. It was obviously meant to be.
It's so weird if you think about a kid right now. Like if I had a 13-year-old son, look around at his kids and say, oh my gosh, his friends.
He could marry
one of these people.
One of these people. It's
like,
terrifying.
Nobody would ever think that,
it's
you know?
Terrifying. I mean, Channing, you know, our kids are in preschool, uh-huh. So I look around at the preschoolers and I'm like,
no, you're
no,
not good
not
enough.
That one. Not Booger Joe over there.
Yeah, oh my God. There's
get
so
away
Booger
from...
Joes.
Just, so gross.
Keep your kid at home
they're
when you're sick.
They're just gross little germy little creatures. I know. This snot that just dribbles down their face.
There's one particular kid in my son's class that never doesn't have, like, I don't know what he looks like without snot on all over his face.
I wonder if it's the same kid I'm thinking. I know they're in different classrooms, but
oh,
I
but
wonder if it's the
a...
same. Because, you know, they merge together at the end of the day.
Oh, I wonder if it is.
Ooh.
I blame him, even though it's not his fault, I blame him for every sickness that comes into our family.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, it's that kid.
Yeah. Oh, Joe.
Oh, Joe. Booger Joe.
Yeah, Booger Joe.
We're such assholes. I love it. Or I am. Totally.
No, I'm an asshole too.
well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I do follow you on the Instagram, but just in case people don't know where to find you, where can they find you on the social media?
Oh, okay. I'm Allison Munn. I'm just my name. Allison Munn.
Munn.
Munn. On Instagram and on Twitter.
Awesome.
And so you guys, the social medias? Yeah.
Do you have a website?
I don't. Should I?
You should have a fan page.
Please
or something
talk to me about that.
Go.
But no, I know actors, though, have actor websites.
Yeah,
right?
I have heatherbrooker.com. I forget to tell people that.
I know you're
there,
trying to end this podcast, but I do have a question.
No, I'm not.
Actually,
I'm not.
It might actually be something that people would want to hear. When I got out of the. I haven't had any auditions. I did have one audition mm-hmm. for something. Like, I don't know, 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I was so scared to go to it because I was like, what is this? I haven't been to audition in like 2 or 3 years. Are people, do they cold script still? Do they have iPads? Is it like on their Google glasses?
Nobody's using iPads.
Is somebody like listening?
If I see someone with an iPad in audition, I'm going to be like, you're a douchebag.
But I had no idea. So now I'm also feeling like I'm kind of behind on this website thing. Like, so it's where I would like host a reel.
I don't think you have to have a website.
But do most actors?
You're on TV. I think if you are not on TV regularly, you should have a website.
But pretty soon, in a couple of months, I'm not going to be on TV regularly.
Maybe.
So,
I think, well, in my opinion, I think the website is mostly for actors who are not discovered yet or not working regularly, who want to have like a placeholder. I think also, too, it's just good to have something to have your website in case one day you want to launch like a clothing line mm-hmm. or write a book or have a place that can be the hub for all of your output
and your branding.
Yeah, all of your branding.
Yeah,
I think in that way you would want to have a website, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, I mean, I don't think you have to.
And do I need Google glasses to read my scripts?
No.
At
oh my God. Okay, what?
What else, like, from the future? Can I imagine?
A big nerd. You walk in there and like, just a minute, let me get my Google glasses on. It's part of my character.
My husband once tried to convince me to hold the baby in the Bjorn, like, because I couldn't get a sitter for an audition once.
Oh,
and he tried. He's like, just take him. It's fine. He's adorable. Just put him in the Bjorn and like bounce him while you're.
Was it a mom audition?
No, it was just like a regular. I don't know.
Criminal.
Criminal Minds audition. Yeah.
I'm sure you get cast a lot as the murderer.
The murderer.
I take Chan to auditions, and even when she was a baby, I just put her in her stroller and just park her on the side and be like, "What?
What?
This is it. This is I'm a mom. Me. What are you gonna do?
Come at
and
me.
I'm telling you, she's like my good luck charm. I've booked a lot of stuff with her
I
there
love
in the
that.
Room. Yeah. And
oh,
she'll go
so
in
cool.
and she'll just sit down on the chair and she'll watch. And then,
because you have an angelic child. My children are little devils. Like, honestly, I couldn't, either one of them, I couldn't do that.
She's been going with me though since she was about 2 months old. So she's pretty used to it.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that, you know, I know a lot of moms hesitate in taking their kids, but I mean, obviously, depending on your kids' maturity level or your comfort level, like some people can't focus. There's been a lot of times where I can't focus because I'll be watching
of
her
course.
Out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
I had an audition one time for a gangster.
Okay. Because, of
like
course, look at you.
Look at me.
Well, I mean,
I'm
the fact
gangster.
You were a truck driver makes
right.
me laugh, too.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's because I'm fat. I think people go, oh, she's fat. Then that's all the truck driver, like Russian mafia.
I would love to like go to an actual truck stop and
be
see
like,
who what truck.
They're
the
probably
truck
all very thin and fit guys.
I just see like a man in his like
wrinkly
50s.
And
yeah,
smoking.
Just totally smoking. And
but I was like auditioning for this gangster, and I was like holding this gun out.
Oh my God!
Like I had to like shoot somebody, and my daughter is sitting over there just kind of watching, and she had seen me practicing at home, so she knew what I was gonna do. And the casting director gave me a redirect and some notes and stuff. And I'm yelling. I'm like, get down.
That's amazing.
It sounds so stupid when I retell it. But I'm like, get down on the floor. And as we're leaving, Channing goes, good job, mommy. That was scary. And I'm like, thanks.
What if she was like, I have a few notes for you.
Right. I would die. One day. Knowing my child, one day. She totally would do that.
I feel like you should. That is a hilarious like sketch. You should turn that into something. That's really, really funny.
She's so, I would love
that's
to.
That's so funny. Like a really violent, like.
audition.
Where just this angelic little child is looking up at their mommy audition. It's hilarious.
Be like,
to
good
me.
Job, mommy. And I'm like, thanks, baby. I didn't get it.
Like,
the casting director was really
taken
nice.
You should have a longer beat
yeah.
on that second line.
Before the shooting.
I didn't
oh
understand
God.
Where your motivation was coming from at all, mommy.
These are the lives we lead as mom actors. We get to do fun, crazy, ridiculous things in front of our children.
Yeah.
Sometimes not.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the
thank
show.
You for having
I appreciate
me.
It.
Super fun.
You guys, if you want more information about Allison, I will put it up on motherhoodinhollywood.com as well as links to all her social media there. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.